Claire, and welcome to podcast number 65.
65, wow. 65. Just pleasure, thank you.
Thank you for your time. No problem. Okay, so Claire Frogger from Make a Brew, which is a branding, social media, marketing agency.
That's right.
You've got 22 years served.
Make me sound old.
Tell me a little bit about this.
About Make a Brew?
Yeah.
Oh, Make a Brew's my third business. So I think I've made most of my mistakes before. This is about getting things right, and I think it's different in the sense things are a lot more about collaboration these days, which is a massive change. Obviously, social media's evolved from what it was in 2007. I think it mainly sort of came out onto the scene, things like that. I was kind of pushed into it, really, because I was made redundant in February.
Right.
And I kept hearing, you're overqualified. Which I think means too old. It's kind of a way of saying you're too old, but
polite.
Problem is, I'm a senior qualified designer. I can run a studio, project manager qualified senior level, and marketing manager qualified senior level.
Sure.
So what do? I have three CVs. Do three different jobs.
Yeah.
It was a conversation I had with a friend and client of mine, Lindsay, and she said, "Why don't you just set up in business again? Why don't you do training or something, and then if you get a job, you do the training on the side, then build the business up, and then you can leave your job."
Right.
I thought, yeah, that's actually quite a good idea, but I went to an EBA, Elite Business Academy networking event, and thought, wow, blown away. Thought, nah, I want to do the business now. So, so on the 12th of March, so we're almost 6 months in.
6 months in.
I know. Wow. We went all in.
Yes.
So the training was Facebook for Business, which I did and ran. Yeah. I've run another one since. They go quite well because quite a lot of smaller businesses out there don't understand how to use the platforms.
Even now,
I've done a MailChimp one, and I'm building a marketing one at the minute, so you can build a marketing strategy sort of thing.
Excellent.
I've kind of niched already because I love branding. It's my favourite thing to do, and I'm allegedly good at it. I've got lots of branding clients and I have done in the past. And marketing strategy, consultancy.
Sure.
Because I like to talk.
Because you like to talk.
I like to talk. And I like to help people, and I tend to be really good at ideas.
Cool.
So I can have a conversation, listen to a problem, come up with a suggestion, and I thought, that's consultancy.
Yeah, sure.
So I do social media consultancy, and I can help with content, but I'm steering away from it.
Right, so you're not creating the content? Or?
I can create content, and I'm doing that for a few clients, but at the minute I'm full.
Right,
I haven't got capacity for any more social media content clients.
Sure.
I can do strategy, not a problem, but not content. So if anybody wants to come for me for content, they'll have to wait till somebody drops off, because quality is what's important to me.
Yeah, sure. Brilliant. So Make a Brew.
Make a brew.
Why Make a Brew?
Well, you can't do anything until you've made a brew, can you?
Love it.
I think it's a brilliant icebreaker. Yeah. You like meet a friend for a coffee or a beer, depending on the time of the day. Depends what the brew is.
Yeah, true.
And I think it's a really relaxed way of opening conversation and starting to talk about things. Because usually when people come to me, they've got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So they've either not got an identity or they've got a logo that they think is a brand.
Right,
okay. So it's about educating them that It's not. It's a logo, it might be clip art, or maybe something that the dog's drawn, or something
like that.
So it's about how to.
How often do you see that, then? By the way,
it's less and less, to be honest, these days. But you usually get people that have just got a word that's been typed, or it's whatever font was like loaded on their computer when they've typed it, and they put it in a box or something like that. So it's like finding out what their business is, who their clients are.
Sure.
For example, McDonald's clients are completely different to Mercedes clients.
Of course.
So the brand looks completely different.
Yes.
It's about teaching people that a brand's more than a logo. It's about the feeling that you leave people with when you're not in the room, or where then you're using your service. It's about using it consistently. So if you're on social media, make sure it's branded. Mm-hmm. Make sure your logo's on it.
Sure.
Make sure it's flavoured with your colour and your tone of voice. Mm-hmm. And all, I could go into it forever and ever and a day and confuse people. But teaching people, as well as helping them not just build or create, but build a brand.
Because
you can build with something that somebody's already got.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily walking, I'm a designer, let's clear the slate and start again.
Sure.
You don't have to do that. If it's ballpark right, I'm working with the client at the minute. She said, I think I'm going to rebrand. I said, why? She went, well, I've had it for a while. I said, but do you still like it? Is it still relevant? Mm. Is it still you? Is it still the service you offer? And she said, yes, totally. You don't need to rebrand then.
I see quite often that a lot of the time when companies are wanting to rebrand or change, it's because they're bored of it. And the customers are only just starting to get used to it.
Yeah.
And it's their own boredom, isn't it?
You can see, but I mean, if you take companies like Shell or Starbucks even, they've evolved their brands over 30, 40 years.
Of course.
And they have had changes and developments, but the core of it's the same.
Sure. It's powerful stuff, isn't it? As well, like
it's
you say,
amazing.
It's what people remember about you when you're not even there.
Yeah.
It's how you feel, everything. It's just so powerful, isn't it?
Like, and for example, my business, when I was sat there, I started a business. I don't want it to be called my name. So I scratched my head for a day, writing things down, ideas, because it's hard. This is what I do, but doing it for yourself
is
really hard.
Yeah,
true. So I sat there, bounced a few ideas around, ended up looking at the dog after about 3 hours and went, oh, just let's make a brew. And I went, ah.
That's a good idea.
Oh,
yeah,
hang on a minute.
I like that.
So I thought, I'll ring my dad. Went, oh, you're selling catering things? I went, no, it's not about that. It's about meeting and connection and being friendly, because it's me. The brand is me.
Sure.
And I know it works, because every time I bump into people, they go, let's make a brew.
Let's make a brew, yeah.
Yeah, so people use it, because it's, yes, I am Northern. Yes, I've got a Yorkshire accent. So why move away from that, and why pretend to be something I'm not?
Of course.
So yeah, we do make a brew in Yorkshire, and it can be tea or coffee.
Yeah.
It tends to be tea, but it can
tea.
Be coffee if somebody wants it. Or like I say, on a Friday night, it can be beer. Because that's a brew as well.
That's a brew as well, yeah.
So it's got a scope.
Yeah. But no, you're right, though. And I think that it becomes a real strong talking point, doesn't it? Because like even just us right now, when I were coming up to see you, you said, do you want a drink? I'm like, yeah, make a brew.
Yeah. So I think I've got it right in the name.
Yeah.
I'm certainly happy with it. I think it's going to be there for a while.
Sure.
Yeah. And it is me. It is friendly.
Okay. So in terms of like coming back into the game then, like you this is the third business that you've set up. Like what went wrong previously, do you think? What have you learned?
Oh, crikey. Right, well, the first one started in 2003. I was 26. So I was 9 years ahead of goal, because I'd got a plan to have my first business at 35.
Right.
So we did that early. And I think it's like a lot of people, you go into business knowing what you know.
Mm-hmm.
So what does EMIF, it's a technician, I think they refer to it as a technician. So you know not everything, a lot about what you do as a trade.
Yep.
And you want to do it for yourself, you want to be your own boss, you want to have that freedom and flexibility. But in the early days of business, you don't have freedom and flexibility.
No.
It's a lot of hard work and
of course.
Lot of hours and a lot of stress. But I think if you get the right people around you and the right support network, it can make it easier. So I don't think I had that knowledge and experience back then.
Right.
And just things didn't work out. Myself and my co-director just had a difference of opinion when financial tough times hit the economy. Mm. I wanted to go value route. They wanted to go increase prices.
Sure.
So it was just we're kind of going in different directions. And I think that lesson was a ship can't have two captains. So nothing wrong with it. That business is still going and flourishing and doing really well. Again, it's got that captain, fair enough.
Right, okay, yeah.
So I resigned from my own company and set up again on my own. And then I think the problem was the loneliness, the solitude of being chief cook and bottle washer and doing everything yourself, and probably not having enough life experience, I'm going to say, and confidence to go out there and network and think it's about selling. And I think a lot of people are too stressed and they're not relaxed about the fact that they're good at what they'll do and the work will come. It's about building that know, like and trust.
Sure.
And I think you can only do that if you're authentic in yourself. So if you're out there and you're like, I'm the best designer in Sheffield and I need to be doing all this work, and you've got something that doesn't work and try and sell and push, that's when it doesn't work.
Sure.
And I think one of my things has always been, I like to help people.
Yes.
It's probably why I'm not rich.
Which is a downfall in that respect as well.
It's the downfall in one respect, because I think if you find people that are willing to help themselves and you can help them and facilitate something, then it's a lot better. But when you find people that want your help and they just want to take what you've got and take and take and take, sure, and take, and they don't see the value in the help,
yeah,
not necessarily just financial. The dog's jumping all over John at the minute. She's trying to get in on this.
I can see, yes. We'll get you, we'll get a picture of you after. We will.
So, yeah. So I think what I'd done was try to help too many of the wrong people.
Okay.
And I went 4 months where nobody was paying me.
Right.
So I kind of chucked my teddies out of the pram and stuff this, I'm getting a job.
Right, okay.
So that was the end of the second business, sure, which in hindsight, I probably should have just wound it down and left it ticking.
Right, right.
Which what I'd, if a similar situation came around again, that's what I'd do. But I didn't. I closed it all down, got a job, I went and worked in a publishing company. So that was probably one of my weaker areas. So I've done magazine book publishing, deadlines. I went in there as their web designer. So I can do web and understand web, but I don't like it. Okay. So I'm more positioned now to do project management, sure, for websites and things like that. Or I recently helped a friend because they were being bamboozled by a web agency who were giving lots and lots of technical excuses. Well, I can see through all them. So she asked me if I'd go to the meeting with her, and I did, and we got a £700 potential bill for doing an hour's worth of changes down to £100, which I was delighted with. I didn't expect to get that much of an improvement on it.
Yeah.
I thought we might get it halved, but I was really, really happy to be able to help that business friend get that result. And what it was, I think, a customer service issue. I'm a bit of a customer service champion. If I can see some people, if somebody's getting treated badly, I don't like it.
Right, okay.
It's like, because it's not hard to give service. You just be honest
and
explain, and then people make their own mind up.
Of course.
So my ambition grew back in that first job. I was like, right, I've licked my wounds now and stopped sulking. What can I do? My career's going somewhere. I've got more to offer than I'm going to be able to do in this job. So I got it was a project manager job, actually, at a digital agency.
Uh-huh.
It was really good, enjoyed that. Worked with lots of different clients, travelled to London, saw some clients there, spoke with the team, spoke with the guys, did a few bits of hands-on work. And I think the downside of that job was I wasn't doing enough hands-on, because I do like to create, I still like to design things like logos and brands and things like that. But a web agency doesn't do a lot of that work. And I was there as a project manager, so it was basically you just make things happen, keep the customers happy, keep the guys happy. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, they hit tough times, and that was a first redundancy.
Okay.
But I saw it as a positive. I know what it's like in business. It's not always easy, and staff's a big resource. So I said, look, it's fine, it's not a problem, you know where I am if you need me. But one of the clients that we've got here is a guy that I already know for a long time, and I know his marketing director's left.
Right.
Do you mind if I talk to him? They went, no, not a problem. No. So filled the gap there. I helped Mark out as his interim marketing manager director, if you like, for 4 months, I think it was. So filled the gap for him, filled the gap for me, and in that time I got another job, which was a market development manager for an IT company.
Sure.
Interesting job again, travelling there. In the last sort of 18 months, I've been to Crete, Italy, France, Germany, Manchester,
not all glamorous.
See a lot of airports and conference centres, stuff like that. So, but again, their business changed, moved the goals, what they wanted to do. So another redundancy came, and that was February this year. So
kind of like you said, forced you into
kind of pushed me in, pushed me in. So I've had 8.5 years as a wage slave. I refer to it as. And now we're back, so I think I've got...
Is that how long it was then for you then, since the last business to now, 8.5 years?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, 8.5 years.
That's gone by with a blink.
When you look at it now, you think, because there's still a lot of connections that I'd got from before out there, and there's a lot of new people as well.
Sure. So are you still a giver now then, or have you learned your lessons there, or do you ask now? Because I think that's the problem with people when they're givers, because they're driven by service to others, which is a wonderful thing, by the way.
Yeah.
But the downfall is that they forget to ask for themselves, and then they get really frustrated because no one's doing anything for them, but no, they're not actually asked.
Yeah. No, I think I've learned that lesson, or should I say, learning.
Learning.
It's an ongoing growth, I think. Yeah. I do ask for help. Like I say, I've got a really, really good accountability partner.
Brilliant.
In Claire Taylor. and we help each other quite a lot. I've got a couple of other designers. They call me and say, I'm stuck with this. Can you help me out with this?
And vice versa.
And vice versa. So I might be a sole trader, but I'm not an island anymore. And I think that's a lesson learned. I've also, in 6 months, realised I can't do everything myself. So I'm on the sort of top package that I can be on with my accountant for being a sole trader. So they do all my bookkeeping, everything. They're brilliant. Can't recommend Bev highly enough. I've got two developers, so I don't advertise websites, but I'm doing a couple at the minute because people have come to me because they want me to look after them. So the developers are building the websites, and I'm doing the talking and the getting the content together, which is the bit I enjoy.
Yes.
And I've just, in the last 2 weeks, I've engaged another designer because what I'm doing is working, and I'm in demand, and I can't do everything.
Brilliant, yeah.
And I can't work 23 hours a day.
Of course.
It's just impossible. So I'm trying to keep my preservation goals at the minute.
Okay.
So this last weekend, I didn't work at all.
Right.
But some weekends, I'll usually work on a Saturday for half, three quarters of a day.
Because
I'm still only 6 months in.
Yes.
And there's a lot to do.
A hell of a lot to do.
But it's not a race. I just want it right. But like I said to you, 6 months in, I'm paying the bills, so it's going all right.
Brilliant.
I'm learning. I'm open to more learning. I don't know everything. There's always going to be something to learn.
Of course.
And there's always something that I can teach other people. So like I say,
perfect.
Branding side and a marketing consultancy.
Yeah.
And I like to educate and explain so people are then empowered to make a choice whether they want to do something themselves or they want to outsource it, but they understand it and they can't be bamboozled.
Brilliant. How, I mean, I know you kind of, like I said, you kind of found yourself forced into this almost. How did you prepare for that? I mean, like, financially, did you have, were you backed? Did you have money behind you? Did you lend?
The redundancy. The 8th of February morning, can we have a chat? Yeah, no problem. You might be made redundant. Okay. Panic. Crap. Just got a car. Last month. Okay. And kind of, in all honesty, panic. What am I going to do? What if? How am I going to pay for this? How am I going to pay for that? 4 o'clock, yes, you are going.
Right.
Okay. So at least I had a definitive answer, which I think is a blessing, and you're not wondering all weekend.
Yeah, sure.
But ultimately, I came out of that with a very generous redundancy payment, which they didn't have to do because I'd only been there 15 months. So they didn't have to give me what they did me. So basically, I was covered to pay all my bills and live from February till the end of May if I tightened my belt a bit. So the business got a chance to get going. But other than that, no, it's all self-funded.
No, so there's no outside.
No outside help. Like I say, I got a reasonable start that I could work for a couple of months setting things up and getting out of there and networking. Say I joined the Elite Business Academy, credit carded that. And that's probably been the best thing I could have done to access that network and that supportive community and build know, like and trust. And I've got some work through it and I've got some clients through it and I've got some really good friends through it.
Fantastic. So did you miss playing the game for yourself? 8.5 years out?
I think I found certainly in the last job, I miss the autonomy. When you're there in a role and that's your job to do, and you can see how somebody could do something a little bit easier, or they're making life hard for themselves. We're getting hammered here under pressure for doing this task and this task, and they're swanning around doing X, Y, and Z, and they're not even doing the job.
Yeah.
Or they're doing a part of the job and not its entirety. Mm. And you're thinking, well, I could do that, because when you work for yourself, you can do a lot of things because you have to, not necessarily well, but I think over time you learn to do things to a level, some things better than others. So I think there's a little bit of frustration in that last role, or if I look at it overall, like I said, the first job I got after I'd sulked and licked my wounds, that was just, I could see it was going nowhere.
Okay.
There was no progression.
No progression, yeah.
And I thought, now, I do like to be in charge of either a project or a job. I can manage people. I can do a lot more than I was doing. And I thought, well, why am I settling?
Yeah.
Kind of. But it's hard to walk away from a wage.
Of course.
And I have a holiday and it's paid, and oh, I'm sick, I'm ill, yeah. So all right, you're still going to get paid.
Yes, yes.
So it's hard to walk away from that. So I don't think I would have made the jump if I hadn't have been pushed.
Got you, okay.
But since I've been pushed, I'm so glad I have.
Yeah, yeah.
Because now I'm in it again, I have missed
you've
it.
You've got that bug.
I have missed it, yeah. And I love business, and I love meeting other people and learning about their businesses. You just meet such a variety of people, and I think if you're in employment, you don't get that.
Of course, yeah, of course. So I was just looking at the dog, I thought she was chewing the microphone.
No, it's the ball. It's the ball. She's dropped it now. She'll stare at it for about an hour till you throw it.
She's lovely. She's beautiful. What's she called again?
Iris.
Iris. She is lovely. We'll get a picture for you after Iris. Okay, so I mean, let's stay on you right now.
Okay.
Then. So we're talking about you. So, like, you've gone through a few blips, you know, like redundancy wise, business wise. Like, how do you find yourself to stay motivated now?
I just love what I do.
Yeah.
I really do like helping people to get over their problems or to teach them so that they're not confused or not, like a lot of people, you say marketing to people and you get the same response you get from me if you say accounts and finance and oh God, I don't get that. It's really confusing. So I think the helping people, and I think personally I'm driven, like my why is I've promised Iris, my 5-year-old Springer Spaniel, I've promised her a garden before she's too old to enjoy it.
Right, okay.
So I do want my own house, because I'm renting at the minute, which is fine, there's nothing wrong with it, but I want my own house, and so I just want to work smart enough so that I can help the right people with the right things and just make a comfortable living. So I can make a comfortable financial future,
sure,
and see how many people I can help demystify marketing and build brands that last and fit and grow and develop with the company.
Of course. Fab. So like when you do have these knockbacks, because in business, in life, we have lots. Mm-hmm. Do you know, like you've had a couple of businesses that's not quite worked out. I'm the same. I've crashed many businesses along the way. You've had some redundancies under your belt.
Yep.
Do you know, like people, we have relationship breakdown, we have challenges, we have problems. Like, how do you physically, like, how do you bounce back?
Oh, I think initially I have a sulk, and I kind of go into myself and a little bit woe is me. Well, should I say, I used to do that, but in this last 6 months, I've done a lot of mindset, personal development work.
Sure.
The Secret, the Rhonda Byrne book. Mm-hmm. The Power, and now The Magic I'm reading currently.
Yeah.
I've also got an alternative version to that line of thought, which is called Kit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that book.
FCK. Yeah.
That one. And I just think, I do believe in the universe, and I'm quite a believer that what you put out comes back. Mm-hmm. So I always try to be happy, smiley. No, I'm not super happy all the time. I have days, like you look at today. Maybe 6 months I'd go, look at today, it's right miserable. But actually today I'm like that. It's actually nice to get a bit rain. It freshens everything up. So I think I've made a choice to be more positively minded. Sure. So that's made the dips and the downs a bit smoother.
Okay.
And certainly shorter.
Sure.
Like I know me, I know myself. So if something knocks me, I kind of go, right, it's okay to, we'll have an hour, we'll have today, or whatever, you consult, but tomorrow's a new start. Mm-hmm. Like I said, with the redundancy. Not only had I got a car, I've got a touring caravan as well, that is also on a financial commitment each month.
Sure.
And I thought, oh, I'm going to have to sell it. I don't want to sell it. I don't want to get rid of it, because that's my escape. So why don't I rent it out?
Right.
So then the entrepreneur came out in me,
sure.
which I didn't recognise till somebody else pointed it out to me.
Got you.
So it's out at the minute.
Someone's renting it.
Someone's renting it this week. So that's somebody else is paying for it this month.
Absolutely.
So I think I've learned to not dwell on problems and not take things as personally, and just think, well, I can control what I do. I can't control what somebody else does. Mm. All I can control is my response to it.
Sure.
So I might be a bit angry, or I might be a bit upset, or I might be thinking, oh, what is this? But there's always a solution.
Sure.
Might be a long-term one, might be a short-term sure. one. It might be a pick the phone up, John, can you help me with this? I think I came and had a brew with you sure. in March and was like,
yeah,
that.
Did, yeah.
Sales,
yeah.
John, I ain't got a clue. Let's have a chat.
Yeah.
So I think it's recognising that you can't do everything,
yep.
when and where you need help.
Sure.
And the fact that you are allowed actually to sulk mm. or be upset or dwell on things mm. for a bit, just make sure that's a little bit and I think, right,
sure.
what can I do sure. for me? Because we all tackle our problems in a different way. Some people rhino them head on.
Mm-hmm.
Some people take the longer route round. But I've got a good support network around me. I think that's the difference this time.
Wow, okay.
As well as being a little bit older.
A bit wiser. Yeah.
Hopefully.
Hopefully a little bit wiser.
Hopefully
yeah.
a bit yeah. wiser, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
So you say like the positive outlook, the change in the way that you think about things. I mean, like it's easy for people to say that,
mm.
but it's very hard for people to buy into that fully, isn't it?
It is. I think if you are a believer in the law of attraction mm. and that side of the universe. I mean, I'm not a religious person, or I would never push that on anybody, but I do believe. In fact, I know that my whole life, if you look at it as a picture, at the times I've been angry, or I've been upset, or I've been blaming somebody else for the situation I'm in, or whatever, you actually can see that. So whereas now if something happens, like there's a dent in my car at the minute, I don't know how it happened. It's only a little one, you can hardly tell, you can hardly say, oh well, I'll sort it out at some point. Whereas sure. I think last year I'd have gone off my rocker.
Right, okay.
I'd have been fuming about
sure,
it.
Sure. But, so what was the real change there then for you then? What's made you think about it? Because I understand what you're saying, like the law of attraction,
yeah, yeah.
the secret, all that kind of stuff. But I think it's the
people that I've connected with or reconnected with,
right, yeah.
and watching, observing
mm.
how they are, and everybody's got an on the face sort of outlook and underneath. But generally, I think if you wear a smile, there's going to be somebody out there that needs that smile. That
oh, yeah.
So you'll have helped them, and you haven't even got a clue that you've helped
yes.
them, or a hug or something
sure.
like that.
Sure.
And I think if you wear a smile, it's a bit harder for you to feel bad and down.
Absolutely, you can't.
You can't.
It's impossible. You can't
yeah.
smile and feel down at the same time.
You can't. So it's just, I think that learning, like I say, I've read The Secret again, and I've done a lot of work on personal development. The Chimp Paradox is another good one, because my chimp is very prominent for
me.
So it's a bit more controlled now.
Sure.
It's a happy chimp.
Where's it
chucking
it
bananas.
But where's it come from, the chimp?
The chimps are your emotive reaction to everything.
Where's yours from, though? Because it's a learnt behaviour.
It's a learnt behaviour. I think it's been through like all my life growing up.
Sure.
And
is it your mum? Is it your dad? Who are you most like?
My soft side and my caring side is definitely mum.
Yeah.
My logical, sarcastic, technical side is from my dad,
right,
definitely.
Okay. Sure.
But I get a lot of influence also from my mum's sister, my aunt,
okay.
from my stepdad, Paul. Mm. As we know, we both know Paul. Like, there was something the other day, somebody put a post on Facebook that they'd helped somebody where the jack had failed on the car.
Right.
Well, Paul taught me to change a tyre on a car.
Yes.
And he always taught me to put the spare wheel under it in case the jack goes. So it made me think of that, think
of
back of that lesson and that learning.
Sure.
And I think sometimes you forget those little things like, yeah, my dad taught me to swim.
Sure.
Yeah, my dad taught me to ride a bike.
Sure.
But Paul's been a big part of my life as well. But I think the change has just been from me. I think you react to things. I am a very emotive person.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why I care so much, and why I'm quite a defender of bad service.
Sure, sure.
Because I don't think there's any need for it.
I agree.
You just put your hand up and you go, yeah
we've
cocked
work.
Up.
Yep. How can we fix it?
This is how can we fix it? What's going to work for you? And there's
sure.
so many companies out there, especially the bigger ones,
yeah.
that just haven't got a clue about that, and they don't make their customers feel important
sure.
or knowledgeable. Mm. Like, they make customers feel thick and like they don't know, and
totally.
There's no need for that.
Yep. Yeah, definitely so.
So I think my chimps are a bit calmer now and a bit more caring.
But I think it's so valid in what you were saying, though. Like, when I first asked that question, one of the things that you said right at the start there was the circle that you're with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that ties back into the fact that you do always become a product of the environment that you're in.
Yeah, I think, like, I call them ice cubes.
Mm.
Negative people and influencers. I don't have any ice cubes in my world at this point in time that I know of.
Yep.
I've distanced myself from ice cubes.
Sure.
So nobody's cooling my temperature down.
Yes.
I'm the one that cools it down if...
Perfect. I like that analogy.
If I'm either tired, like last week I was really, really tired, which is don't make sense really because I'd had the week before off.
It's probably why you were tired.
It's probably why I was tired. But I think it was have a week off and then you've got a lot to make up for, or so it seems. But like I say, I recognise last week I was really tired and I did bust my ass on two really, really long days. But then on Friday I had a meeting at 3 o'clock and when I finished that meeting I finished. It was about half past four, quarter to five.
Yeah.
And then I didn't work at all this weekend.
Right.
I've got work to do, I've got lots of work to do, both on the business and in it.
Yep.
But it's like on Friday I made a couple of phone calls to people that I thought were expecting things from me, because again you build a lot up in your own mind. And I put a phone call in and said, look, I'm feeling I'm letting you down at the minute. It's taking this much time to get this done and this done and this time, this done. And I got really positive responses.
Yeah.
So that just told me, you need to communicate.
Mm.
And it's not always on an email.
No. It's to pick yourself.
Yeah, pick the phone up, speak to people, and don't assume that that's what they're thinking of and what they feel.
Of course.
Have that conversation. And that's why I thought, actually, I don't need to work this weekend. Mm. It'll still be there on Monday.
Yeah. Perfect. And it is, I mean, the communication that we have is, like, the quality of your life is linked directly to the quality of your communication, and often it's with yourself. Like, we'll talk
your internal dialogue.
Yeah, terrible. I mean, like, if that was a stranger speaking to you the way that you speak to yourself, you'd probably deck him.
Yeah.
You know, you'd kick him in the face.
You wouldn't be friends with him, would you?
No, not at all, but we allow it because it's ourselves speaking to ourselves. It's crazy. So coming back to, like, the business and the industry that you're in, the marketing, the digital, all that kind of space. So, I mean, like, how has marketing changed as a result of digital, would you say?
Oh, crikey. I think on the downside, it's so accessible. You can get on any social media platform, for example, like Facebook or Instagram, LinkedIn, whatever, and you can just do something. So I think a lot of people running at it head, like jumping the deep end without a strategy and without a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And even in traditional marketing, I've had a few phone calls in the last couple of months. I want a leaflet. So my first question, why do you want a leaflet? What are you going to do with it when you've got it? Where are you going to put it? How are you going to distribute it? What's it going to say on it?
Sure.
And one guy answered it really well and said, well, I want some flyers. So when I'm working on a job, it does floor cleaning, carpets, hardwood, stone, all kinds of things like that. So when I'm working on a job, I want to drop some leaflets in and around the houses where I'm working because it's in the geographic area I cover.
Top,
so makes sense. Mm. That's fine. So what you're going to have on your leaflet, said, well, one side of it's going to be the hardwood and the stone, and the other side's going to be the carpets and upholstery.
Great.
You've got a clear message, both sides, not a problem.
Yeah.
Let's go, let's do them. Somebody else came to me, sent me a flyer that they'd done themselves. Sometimes that's good, sometimes it's not. And said, can I have an honest opinion? I went quite quiet on the phone. He went, no, give me an honest answer. I said, well, tell me what you want to do with it. And he'd done this so-called flyer, used Microsoft Word with a few bits of clip art on it and about 10 different fonts, all different sizes, different colours. And he said, we're trying to supply contract catering from waiting staff up to head chef to football clubs and racecourses.
Okay.
I said, okay. He said, you're not going to do it with that flyer, so no, I will not get that printed for you.
Mm-hmm.
So why won't I get it? I said, well, you're dealing with high-end people who use the slick professional services and you're wanting to offer like management level things and head chefs. So you need more touch points. You need a phone call or a visit, an appointment. You need something bigger than an A5 flyer, probably A4, standard paper size, and a folder. It needs to be touchy-feely, thick card, maybe laminated.
Sure.
and it needs a letter in it introducing the service and a rate card in it and what you can do for them, and it needs a softly approach. Yeah. He went, yeah, you're right. He said, so the flyer, I said, well, if you want to give Doris in Blackpool a weekend off in the middle of August, yeah, that's what that flyer will do.
Of course.
So it's fit for purpose. Yes. So he's like, right, great advice. Can you help me? I said, of course I can help you, but I'm not trying to upsell you.
Sure.
If you just want a flyer, I'll do you a flyer, but you've got to make phone calls, you've got to do emails, sure, you've got to go and pay a visit.
Sure.
So I'll work for you.
Yeah.
So he just said, I really appreciate your honest advice, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like that lady last week when she said, I want to rebrand. I said, why?
Yeah.
She's not rebranding yet.
Yeah.
She's going to tweak and develop and polish a little bit.
Sure.
But it's not a rebrand, she doesn't need to do it. So I'm not going to sell somebody something they don't need.
How important, like really, how important do you feel brand is? And let me just put some context into that, because there's, predominantly in the engineering game, there's a lot of companies out there who are very successful, multi-million pound companies, whose brand identity is incredibly weak.
Mm. I think those companies have been quite lucky in the sense that their product or service has carried the company growth.
Agreed.
Particularly a lot of companies in this area, because it's heavy on the steel production and engineering. Yep. So in one sense, engineering is very intellectual property valued, as in the product or service that we've created is the value.
Sure.
So not necessarily the brand or the company that's delivering it, or it's the quality of the steel or the product that's produced from that steel, for example, or that process of engineering.
Yeah.
Engineering is a big area I worked in.
Of course.
So I think that's why they've kind of, as a business, got away with not having, let's say, a solid brand that represents their business and their product and is applied consistently on and offline. The staff are in the right uniforms, everything's clean all the time, the vans are liveried up. The website matches the letterhead, for example.
Exactly.
It's the consistency I think a lot of those type of businesses suffer from. And they've usually been around for 10, 20, 30, a lot of years.
Yep.
So they've not changed the logo. It was something that was drawn on the back of a fag packet in a pub somewhere years ago. But so it's the product that's grown there, and that's why I think they've succeeded. But if they're, what I say now is, if it's a company that's looking towards its exit, so if maybe say it's a family business and there's nobody to succeed it and they're looking to sell it, then a brand is also an asset as well as the product or the service that's delivered by that company.
Totally.
So that's where it's worth a consideration. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a rebrand all the time. It can be a brand development. So how can we refine it? How can we put consistency in it across the platforms that you are using? And are there some platforms or channels? By platforms, I mean LinkedIn as opposed to Facebook, or social media as opposed to a website, or a video news program, or documentary style interview as opposed to an email newsletter. That's tools and platforms. Each is available to everybody, and it's the right mix at the right time.
Of course.
I think the UK in particular, intellectual property is a massive asset. A lot of companies these days, we hold the IP and the idea and the concept, and the production may be done in China or the Far East because the labour is more affordable. And it's a balance about having that for a company. But if you take companies like British Aerospace, they've got places all over that specialise in bits.
Yes.
Depends how big the company is and where its client base is and where its operations are.
Sure.
Don't sound like I know what I'm talking about.
I think you're talking a good game. You clearly know what you're talking about, Claire. But I mean, I think that, again, another side of like looking at the early stage businesses in a very early stage startup, I think that a lot of them can get really too absorbed in the brand, would you agree?
Yeah, I think if you're going to get going, you just need something that fits. So it's the right colour, the right shape, the right font.
Yeah.
More like a logo.
Sure.
I'm doing a job for a company. They don't want the full brand yet, sure, but they'll just want a logo.
Yeah.
So they're getting the logo, but when I create a logo, I'm creating it so it can be a brand.
So it can move into, yeah.
So it can grow into, sure, it. Like, you don't need to spend a lot of money. You just need to be consistent.
And when you're starting up, consistent.
Consistent, yeah, is absolutely key. Yeah. Consistent and content.
Yes.
Probably are the two killers for any business.
Agreed.
Because, yeah, if you don't put content out regularly and consistently,
yeah,
or it doesn't look consistent,
it's
going to die. It's going to fade away. Sure. It's not going to fit.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, yeah, social media. You can put pictures out of fluffy cats, yeah, but what's that got to do with manufacturing engineering parts?
Claire, it got 267 likes. Surely that's the most important metric.
But did they buy anything from you?
Oh no. Yeah. Maybe they will though.
Yeah. Did it put it on your bottom line?
Exactly.
It's about the right thing.
That's a major problem right now in the digital space, isn't it? Everyone's measuring the ego metric.
Yes.
Not the actual ROI.
Yeah. It's about just being like. For example, my social media, my personal Facebook page, I do 20 second, I call them outcasts.
Yes.
It's like outtake, podcast kind of combination word. Here I am today, this is what I'm doing, who I'm with. Doing that solid for 9 days, got 90 more likes to my business Facebook page.
Sure.
No other content went out, just that. So that's the only thing it could have been. Because people are watching you personally and business-like.
Sure. But the challenge is that even though they're only 20 seconds, the consistency and the amount of effort it takes to make that commitment is still huge.
I certainly used all my wardrobe. So it's like, I can't wear that shirt again. It went in yesterday's video. Change your shirt.
Yeah, true. Very true. Yeah. Very, very true. Yeah.
I mean, they have dropped off a bit as well because for me, if I'm not going to say something interesting, mm-hmm, I'm not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably my downside, because if I'm not going to do that, then what am I going to do instead?
Yeah, I think that one of the best pieces of advice I ever saw about that, about certainly like using video, was from the guy who probably owns that space right now, is Gary Vaynerchuk.
Yep.
And he said, document, don't create. So what he's meaning is, rather than you trying to worry about what you should be creating each day, just document the things that you are doing.
Yeah, that's what those videos were.
And that's what you were doing in the videos anyway.
Yeah.
And I think it's just more... It's authentic, it's real.
Yeah.
And people want that.
It certainly brought that.
Yeah. And clearly it worked.
And it's working. Yeah. People are coming to me. Like I said, sure, I don't advertise that I do websites.
Yeah.
I'm doing three at the minute.
True.
Because people
true
come to me because they trust me to deliver it.
Of course. I mean, just coming back onto the, like, the kind of brand and the building of the brand and stuff as well, I think, mm-hmm, that one of the issues that I've seen, and I'm sure you'll probably see this a hell of a lot, is that companies try to build the website, the brand, the identity, and they've not even got a client just yet.
Yeah,
so they build a business and then they go and try and get clients rather than, do you know what, let's get a client first and then build a business.
Yeah, it's kind of like chicken and egg.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really weird. Like, I'm doing some work for another client. They've come. They're buying a cafe, so we're doing the branding first. So while the builders are in doing the cafe and things, that I'm doing the branding, I've created the social media profiles for them, so because they're in a different position where they've had businesses before,
course,
so they've got money to,
yeah,
develop and invest,
yeah,
but let's say somebody's starting with 50 quid,
yeah,
and they're very good at what they do,
yeah, go and get client,
just go get some clients, you've,
yeah,
got a mobile phone,
yeah,
it's free to set a Facebook up,
yeah,
it's free to set a LinkedIn up,
yeah, go to a networking event,
so go to a networking event, talk to people, connect to people, just say, well, do you need a business card these days? Not necessarily.
Sure. It's nice to have.
It's nice to have, and it's a great takeaway, but do something different on your business card. Don't make it just another, don't be a business paper either,
yeah,
get some,
yeah,
quality,
yeah,
card.
Sure, sure.
But you can start with nothing. You've got a mobile phone, most likely most people have,
yeah,
smartphone even, so you can access your social profiles. So do you need a website straight away? No. You can start with a mobile phone and you,
mm-hmm,
and what you do, and ultimately the brand can build around you and your vision, but the important thing is to have a plan of where you're going and know,
yeah,
what you're doing,
sure,
and how long, depending on the purchase point. Like, are you is it a low value service or product that you've got? Because if you're selling a tenner a time or a grand a time, it's going to take you a longer time to get to the income you need to earn to cover your living costs or to create some money to invest back in. It's about doing it as and when you need it. So being you and authentic and consistent is what's key.
It's key, yeah. What's the biggest mistake people are making right now with the marketing, would you say?
Everybody else doing it, so I need to, and just get that, get out there and do it. Like I say, they haven't got a strategy, they haven't got a plan. They don't know how to do it consistently.
That's the question there, isn't it? They don't know
There's
how.
All kinds of tools out there. Everybody thinks they're a designer.
Yeah.
Invest the money with a designer. Not necessarily me. No, there's lots out there, lots of good people out there, lots of different prices out there. But make sure you know who you are. But three things I must have to work with anybody, and if they haven't got them already, then I'll help them get them. You've got to know who you are and what you do.
Yep.
So what's your product or your service? Mm-hmm. What problems does it solve? Why would somebody need you?
Yep.
And why should they pick you rather than the person next door that does the same thing as you do?
So the first one, so who you are.
Yep.
And what you do.
Yep.
Second one is what problem do you solve.
Yep.
And then the third one is why should they choose you.
Yep.
Okay, cool. That's good.
So, because if you don't know those three things about yourself and what you do, then how are you going to find the people to solve problems for? Why are they going to pick you over somebody else that can do it?
Sure.
I mean, so if you've got three designers, we've all got different personalities.
Of course.
They're either going to like some work you've done for somebody else before and they want a me too. Mm-hmm. Which is great, but you should never have what somebody else has got because it don't fit you.
Of course.
One shoe don't fit all.
Yeah.
So it's either personality and how somebody gets you and understands you and you can work with them for them to get the right information out of you to present it. Mm-hmm. Or you offer something completely different. Like I go to a networking event now and somebody says, oh, what do you do? I'm a visual translator.
A visual translator. Okay.
If I go to a networking event and say I'm a graphic designer, I'm not telling them.
Yeah, totally.
What's a visual translator?
Yeah.
Well, I either create or develop your ideas to present them visually.
Yeah, I like it. It's good.
So that's different.
I do one. I did it at my last Thrive event actually. So I created a bit of a framework, what I call the PSP method.
Oh yeah.
And so the idea is it you can use it as your pitch, you can use it for your website, you can use it everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it's just so powerful. And it's just an acronym for problem, solution, proof. So rather than you going networking and saying, I'm a graphic designer, what you do is you tell people what problems they have first. So you know, most people, they have a logo that they've probably got from clip art or somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And it doesn't really leave a memorable message for them. Well, what I do is I help them build an identity that stays with people long after they've gone, so they know exactly who they are, the touch, the feel, the smell, the taste, etc.
Yep.
In fact, last week, one of my clients is now da 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 da. Mm-hmm. So if you go through that method, which is problem, here's the problem that they have, here's the solution, this is what I do, and here's the proof.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes a real big impact.
You're telling a story.
You're telling the story, totally.
Stories are, I think, the new black, certainly popularly. So your video stories or story and context in your messaging or in your what you say and
do. Which leads me on to one of the questions I put down is that how important do you feel storytelling is in marketing?
I think it's very important because everybody thinks what they do is boring because it's what they do and what they know.
Sure.
But it's not boring to somebody that needs what you've got. So it's the way that you tell it. For example, I've given you a few examples of how I've done what I do for people.
Yeah.
So there's one client, friend I've got, who does fire safety protection. Mm-hmm. And he just went, no, who wants to listen to that?
Sure.
So yeah, but tell me some examples of things you've done. I said, talk to me. Mm-hmm. So if you imagine you're, like we're sat now having a conversation, and I'm telling you an anecdote or a story about something that happened, you just need to think about that in a more structured format.
Sure.
Everybody's got a story, isn't it?
Sure.
I was at the weekend and such happened with the car, or I met this person that did X, Y, and Z and A, B, and C.
And everyone remembers stories. They don't remember stats or figures and numbers. They remember a story.
Yeah. So story, what's a story have?
Yeah.
A beginning, a middle, and an end.
Yeah. Yeah.
it has a leading character,
sure. or
and a villain, and so the villain can be the problem, the leading character can be you, the hero.
Sure, sure.
It's very important, and I think everybody's got a story in them. Mm-hmm. Now, you might not be a writer, you might not be able to draw it,
sure.
or you might not be good at articulating it if you speak it. I'm not good at writing. Best tool ever, smartphone, blah, 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 blah. I'll talk into my phone and it types it. Fantastic. Then I get it out, then I edit it, do the grammar bit, job done.
Yeah.
Five my time.
Makes it easier. Yeah.
It's
using the tools, isn't it?
It's use your tools that you've got. Or sometimes I think you've got that much, you forget what you've got, you forget what you know, and it takes somebody to say something, you go, oh yeah. Light bulb.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So like, if you could go back now to when you first started your first business,
go knowing 2003.
Yeah. Knowing what you know now,
yeah.
and you could see yourself, what one piece of information would you give yourself that you think would make the biggest impact?
Learn how to run a business and do the personal development.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just do what you like doing.
Right, okay.
And what you think you know.
Right, okay. What does that mean to you then, like running a business now?
It's making time to actually run it and plan it.
Okay.
So, like I say, Monday's my business development day. So what do I do on a Monday? Well, one of those a month I spend the day with my accountability partner, and we do half day on her business and half day on mine.
Mm-hmm.
Objective, input and deadline, not just I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that.
Sure.
There's a deadline to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's also that emotional support, like this has happened, what do you think?
Mm.
Or this is what I want to do, what do you think? Whereas before, I might have just done it, and then you get a different outcome.
Sure.
Not necessarily a good one. So yeah, I think it's the, now I know I can't do everything myself. I can do a lot.
Sure. You gotta let go.
But if I try and do more, then I'm not gonna do the good stuff as well.
Sure. And you gotta utilise the resources.
Yeah, it's utilising the resources, and you can think, oh, I can't afford to do that. Yeah, but can you afford not to?
Sure. So I mean, like, so that's a really good point. I mean, how do you mentally and physically go there when you know it's something that you can't afford but you have to do? I mean, how do you allocate budget? How do you manage that?
I just, like, say my accounts and bookkeeping. Accounts, I know a bit. Obviously, I've been in and around business for it long enough, but I don't know the terminology and what I have to get done and what's important. What needs to be done and what can be done later. So I started off by going, right, well, like my accountant offers a package, £29 plus VAT, brilliant, it's £30 a month. Well, I pay £30 a month from internet.
Sure.
And I can afford it. I pay £30 a month probably on takeaways. All right, scrap the takeaways and pay for the accountant.
Sure. So how do you go there with you? Like, because it's one thing to think it, but then when it comes to actually doing it.
I just think you've got to, if you look at what you spend already,
sure.
what you don't even bat an eyelid on, it's just about reassessing, what do I spend now, time-wise and money?
Yes.
Because time's more important than most people value it at. My accounts, so I either pay £30, they do my accounts, they keep me legal, keep me out of jail. Or I do it myself, and I leave it till last minute, and I'm not prepared, and I've not got all my things filed and saved in the same place to make life easy, because I just don't do it. That's not how my brain works.
Yeah.
My brain likes shiny, creative, designery things.
Sure.
So if I come up with a logo, I can do a logo in 10 minutes. Because as we have a conversation, I'm visualising it already.
Ideas are flowing, yeah.
I'm meeting last week with two financial advisors. While we were talking, I'm doodling what I think the logo
could be
or needs to be. But accounts, can't do it. So why try? Do what I need to do. I scan my receipts, I save me invoices, I send me invoices out, that's all I do.
Yes.
So I thought, yeah, I can do my bookkeeping, I'll do it myself, I'll save myself some money.
Yeah.
But then I get to a point where I'm not doing it, because I don't like it.
It doesn't interest me.
Leave it till last minute. So I just went, and I got a call like, right, we're trying to do your VAT return. What? Oh.
So would it be fair to say that you're using the pain of...
It's the, right, if something's going to take me 4 hours to do, and it takes somebody else 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I spending 4 hours doing it? What can I do with my four?
Sure.
What can I do with my 4 hours? I can do a half day social media strategy.
Sure, sure.
I can do some brand developments and workable designs and put all the presentation documents together. Mm. I can even start building a website if sure. I wanted to.
Sure.
So why am I messing about doing something that I can utilize my time better?
Of course.
So
of
course. That I think's the no-brainer.
Yeah.
So what else? Admin stuff, writing. I'm doing several things at the minute that require writing. Mm-hmm. I'm not a writer. Why am I writing them? That's what Claire does.
Sure.
Claire, can you write me that content for that? Yeah, no problem.
Sure.
So instead of me doing a job that's, say, 150 quid
yeah.
and having all the money myself and it taking me three times as long,
give it to somebody else.
Can you write it?
Sure.
Pay you a portion of it.
Yeah.
So I'm actually taking less. I'm making money, but I'm making less. But
buying
also,
time.
I'm buying time back.
Sure.
And I'm also probably giving that client a better
service
solution.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah
because yeah. Claire's a better writer than I am.
Totally. What's been the best advice you've ever been given?
Oh wow!
Just one
piece. The best advice. That's a really tough question. I think one of the key things that sticks in mind, and it's probably from this time round, third time, okay. Progress, not perfection.
Ooh, I love it.
Because everybody likes to get things perfect, but if you, it's got to be perfect before I show it anybody. It's got to be perfect before I do it. It's never going to happen.
No, at all.
Never going to happen.
Yeah.
You're going to put yourself under so much stress and so much pressure for what?
Yeah.
Put it out there as version one.
Yes.
Get it out there.
Sure.
Everybody, most people will love it because they don't know that that's not the finished version. Only you know that.
Well, exactly, yeah, yeah.
And
true.
Then
do
version 1.1, 1.2,
yeah.
1.2,
on.
Version 2,
yeah, yeah.
version 5, yeah. whatever it's going to be.
Times, yeah. So
yeah.
I like Facebook's mantra,
mm-hmm.
which is move fast and break things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which
yeah.
is effectively what you're saying. You know,
yeah.
Progress, not perfection.
Kind of,
yeah.
yeah.
That's
just
really
like,
good.
Do it, put it out there.
And then adjust.
Adjust it, yeah. Tweak it, polish it.
Yeah. Next.
Which is, it's a little bit like your branding.
Uh-huh.
Just make sure the first put out there is something
yeah.
that can be seen as work
sure.
in progress.
Sure.
Don't go 10 grand down the line for something shiny and whatever and you've not done all the background work. And it's there's a lot of work into branding.
Of course.
But you
of
need
course.
To, the right person that's going to get the information out of you.
Got you. That's brilliant. Claire, listen, that's been absolutely amazing. Where can people find out more?
Well, my website is
yes.
it's only got one page on it at the minute because it's not what I do.
Of course.
I'm on Facebook at Make a Brew.
Yep.
I'm on LinkedIn if you go Claire Froggatt,
C-L-A-R-E.
Now I am my Claire.
Uh-huh.
Website is makeabrew.co.uk.
Yeah.
Pick up the phone.
Yeah.
I like to talk. That's why it's called Make a Brew.
Absolutely.
I'll either make you one, I'll meet you for one or whatever. Let's
there
make a brew and have a chat.
Fantastic. Claire, what we'll do is we'll, as always, put a link into the description somewhere inside this, whether you're watching it, listening to it, or however you choose to consume this information. Claire, once again, thank you so much for your
Thanks,
time.
John.
It's been amazing. Thank you.
Cheers.